नमश्री यतिराजाय विवेकानंद सूरये सच्चित्सुखस्वरूपाय स्वामिने तापहारिणे. आई एम हैप्पी टू पार्टिसिपेट इन दिस फंक्शन एंड माय वार्म ग्रीटिंग्स टू ऑल द डिवोटीज ऑफ रामकृष्ण श्री शारदा मठ बेंगलोर. टुडे आई एम गोइंग टू Actually, I want to give some pictures. Don't know how much it will be useful for another type of meditation, I should say. Now, let us first take Sri Ramakrishna's vision. One day, Sri Ramakrishna had a vision in which his mind soared high and high, leaving behind all this earth and even the devatas. It finally entered a place where even the devatas could not enter. There he had the vision of seven rishis sitting in a close proximity of the Supreme. It seems they had no desire whatsoever. Let us compare this beautiful vision with a description from the scriptures. Trisuparna mantra says, Hiranmayo Hiranmayo Vetaso Madhya Asam Tasmin Suparne Madhukyut Kulai Bhajan Naste Madhu Devatabhyaha Tasya Sate Haraya Sapta Tire Swadaduhanam Amritasya Dharam. This gives a wonderful description of the seven rishis. It says that they are in the close proximity of Supreme Divine. They are also continuously participating in the cosmic yajna with the divine. Here it is visualized that all our kriyas, karmas, everything from the innumerable jivas of this universe, whether it is mental or physical, in fact the impact of this entire humanity is continuously falling like a river flowing into this cosmic yajna. This is the havis that is falling into this yajna. This comprises the whole of the universe, and these supreme souls, they are purifying and sending it back as a blessing. And they are most unselfish. They do not care for partaking it or interested in that. They constitute a cosmic dynamo, supreme purifying machine, purifying all our thoughts and actions out of infinite compassion. Here, note the word Haraya. Haraya Sapta Tire Swadha Duhanam. Haraya means Smarana Matrena Papa Harinaha. That means just by remembrance, they are able to burn the sins. Means if you can remember them. Commonly, we mistake them with our known rishis. Seven rishis. Atri, Angira, Pulastya, Pulah, Kritu, Marichi, Vasishta. But they are Gotra Pravartakas or Progenitors. But these seven rishis whom we are speaking about, they are all the beings surpassing everybody, even these rishis, in their viveka, vairagya and other divine qualities, far superior to the devatas also and saints also. Somewhere I have read Vijnanananda Maharaj reminiscences. He had a vision of Saptarishis. Once when he visited a mandir dedicated to Saptarishi, in his deep meditation, he was thrilled to have the vision, blessed vision of the seven rishis. He identifies them with Sanak, Sanatan, Sananda, and the others, Narayan and others. So these are actually the spiritual Jains and the Vedic mantra says they are almost merged with divine. Their presence is continuously merged with divine. They are immersed in this deep meditation. And we know that Thakur brought one of them down, and with a beautiful description you must have all read. So I'm not going to repeat it here. Swamiji is one of these rishis who are completely spiritually oriented. They have nothing to do with samsara. And then Thakur brought him down from the Sakanda Loka. Thakur had to do a lot of struggle with this because Maya cannot bind him. Swamiji, Thakur has to put forth a lot of effort, just like breaking the hearts and giving Swamiji all sorts of trouble in this world. And finally, when he accepted Mother Kali, that day Swamiji Thakur felt relieved, because pure gold cannot do any work. Only when we mix with copper, it can be of use. When Swamiji came down this Maya screen, space-time continuum, then only he could understand the misery of this world. Then only his compassionate heart bled for that. And then only he was able to do Thakur's work. Otherwise he would have disappeared far long back into that Akanda Loka. So this is Vivekananda. We started with who is Vivekananda. Now how he adopted this name also is very interesting. It so happened that during Parivrajak days, he went on changing his name to hide his identity. He started with Vibhidishananda, then Satchidananda, then so many other names we don't know, and finally he ended with Vivekananda. Other than Sri Ramakrishna, Gurubhai could best understand him. Sometime I remember the Turiyanand Maharaj saying, when Swamiji was with us, none of us could understand who was he. Just like gopis, when they played gopas, when they played with Sri Krishna, they never understood who was he. Just like fish playing with moon's reflection, thinking that he is one of them. But when moon disappears, then they will understand where they are. Similarly, when Swamiji disappeared, he understood what we lost. Otherwise, we were thinking he was only our friend, a playmate. But now, we cannot even fathom his greatness. And Sharat Maharaj, in his famous shloka, Anitya Drisheshu Vivichya Nityam, a beautiful adjective he gives. The second one he gives, Viveka Jananda Nimagna Chittam. Viveka Jananda Nimagna Chittam. That means the one who enjoys the joy out of this discrimination, depends on nothing external. His ananda is purely out of discrimination. Now I want to give you here a picture from his days in London in 1896. Mr. Sturdy and Miss Muller, who were his hosts in London, had very, very queer ideas about austerity. They always thought that Indian yogis should be like this, like that. Yogis should be very austere. And when they should practice on the bare necessities, they should not even require anything. They should be able to live in any condition. So what they did, you see, we can't even imagine. They kept Swamiji in a underground cellar. Imagine foggy and depressing weather of London in winter. When Londoners used profusely coal for everything. So you can imagine that coal fumes everywhere. Imagine an underground cellar where there is no light, no electricity, electric light was not there, no light from outside. Swamiji was given such a room to stay and boil radish to eat. Now, what did he do? Did he grumble or even say anything to them? After a day's tiring lecture and other works, Swamiji would retire to such a cellar. He was not getting sleep, but not because of depressing situation. In his own words, he said, after laying down for a few minutes, I used to feel a fountain of joy rising inside me. I could not even lay down anymore, but I used to dance with joy. So now imagine what type of joy it must be. When missionaries saw that the people were drawn to him like iron to magnet, and missionary income fell by millions, they reverted to path of abuse. They threatened the innocent audience. They started to pour on his head all sorts of personal abuse. Surprisingly, he remained absolutely calm. He did not react to any personal abuse. At the same time, when the audience went mad after him, then also he took that with a smile on his lips like a child. Tulya Ninda Stutir Mouni Santushto Ena Kenati. Here is a piece of reminiscence from an old Californian lady. Her name is Mrs. Budget. She attended Parliament of Religion, and now when she went back, she carried a poster of Swamiji, life-size photo. Here, that time in 1899, Swamiji was in Risley Manor. He came to America second time. We call that Great Summer at Risley. There his companions were, his host was Mrs. Betty and her sister McClure. All big people were invited. It was veritably like a heaven, Swamiji's company, and such a beautiful atmosphere all around. The people were enjoying like anything. That time, McClure received a telegram that her brother is extremely ill and is about to die and is in California. So she rushed back to California. There, she saw her brother dying in this Mrs. Bludge's cottage. And just at his head, a life-size photo of Swamiji was hung. She was so surprised because she was coming from Swamiji's presence. And here she saw the Swamiji's photo again. So she asked Mrs. Bludge, saying, "Who is he? Whose photo is this?" Then Mrs. Bridget answered with all the dignity of 80 years, stood up straight and said, "If ever God has come to earth, it is he, it is he." Then McClure, in a teasing way, she said, "How do you know it is God?" Then Mrs. Bridget said, "Well, my dear, I was there. I was there in that parliament at 1893. When the lecture was over, I saw when he spoke, his sisters and brothers of America, 6,000 people stood up for something which they knew not what. And when his speech was barely over, I saw thousands of them hurrying, running on the benches, just to touch the hem of his robe and feel blessed. Then I told myself, well, my lad, if you can bear this onslaught, then you are indeed God. That moment, I saw him taking it like a innocent child with a smile. Then I understood he is indeed God. So I brought this photo from there. So we can understand he took this praise as well as blame in the same way. And it didn't depend on any outside thing. That is what we call Atmaram. Now take another beautiful adjective. Viveka Danaika Vinoda Shilam. Viveka Danaika Vinoda Shilam. The one who gives the power, discriminating power, in a playful mood. It is not difficult for him to bestow this discriminating power on anyone whom he come across, for anybody whom he thinks who can, just playfully he can impart this highest knowledge. Now, when Swamiji came back to our country, the entire country was sleeping. In one rousing call, he said, "My India, arise!" And the whole of the country responded. With a touch or a glance, he could impart highest knowledge to people by grace of Sri Ramakrishna. Oh, one or two small stories regarding this. We all know the story of a singer who sang Prabhu Mero Avaguna Chitana Doro. Samadara Shihai Nama Tiharo. The people say it is a turning point in his life. Remember this incident in Khetri when Swamiji resisted, no, I cannot go to that court musicians, this thing, music concert. I cannot go, I am a sannyasin. Then this song he heard. Immediately his pride came down. He said, "What? I am priding myself as sannyasin. And this lady today, if there is God's grace, she can attain anything." And so he came back just to tell as excuse. Some say it is a turning point, just like Shankaracharya facing Chandala. No doubt. But how many of us know that? What was the impact of this on the life of this Maina Bai, whom Swamiji addressed as Mother, Ma? Mother, you have opened my eyes. Yes, there was a tremendous change. On hearing this one word, Ma, she became a completely changed person. She left her profession as a court singer. She took her life change. She became a sadhika. Again now we come across another story, similar one, where he removed the spiritual blocks so playfully. We come across another incident in Madras when he felt that something has gone wrong and his mother is not well in Calcutta. His friends took him to Epishat Siddha. It was, I think, 1893 beginning, or 1893 beginning. That time, a man was sitting in that smashan. He was himself looking like Pishati. He was looking like a devil. He was actually playing with that spirits. And now he only told Swamiji, "Yes, your mother is all right and what not." But because Swamiji came and talked to him, an occasional talk or a touch changed the course of his life. When Swamiji came back in 1897, he noticed that this man is sitting like a gentleman along with the other gentlemen in the same sabha. And then Swamiji even came down and embraced him. This changed the whole course of his life. He left all this siddha, all this playing with spirits, came back to the spiritual sadhana once again and took to spiritual path in earnest, as an earnest seeker. And there is another example of Kiddy, Singarvelu Mudaliyar, whose life was changed with a touch. He was like an agnostic. He didn't believe in anything spiritual. He said he has come with the purpose of testing Swamiji. So everybody was sitting quietly, and this Kiddy took into his head. He was a professor of physics and chemistry. So he wanted to test and see Swamiji. So he got up, and that time Swamiji was telling the audience that the yogis are having extraordinary powers. They can change the thought currents of the people who come in touch with them. They can rise them to their level like this. Then, with all resolution, Kiddy walked towards Swamiji. Swamiji said, no, don't touch, because Swamiji understood he is coming to touch him. If you touch, your samsara will be burnt. But Kiddy decided, he touched Swamiji in front of so many people. They saw his whole hand was shaking as if he got an electric shock. And then he fell at Swamiji's feet. Swamiji only said, Kiddy, what did you do? Your samsara is burnt. Just after that, the friends who had just brought him here, they tried and persuaded him, but Kiddy refused to go to home. He was a changed person. He became a sannyasin just then, and he was not able to take this householder life anymore. Then there are innumerable people who attended the lectures of Swamiji, both in East and West. When someone asked Swamiji, how many disciples you are having, Swamiji, in the West? Immediately he replied, yes, thousands. What do you mean by thousands? Did you initiate? But then Swamiji did not have to initiate. What he did was, his speech, his talk was enough. His words were mantras. They could lift the person to anything, any level. His very words were mantras. So that is what Swamiji said when he said, yes, I've got thousands of disciples. Sometimes he has said, do you think it's simply lecture, simply speech? How much energy I have given to that? Here, I want to recount what Miss Laura Glenn said. She said, in 1893, she wanted to attend Parliament, but a crisis in the family stopped her. Then, at the end of the parliamentary lectures, some padris visited them. Then, he started describing at length the whole proceedings of the parliament. Then he asked suddenly, whom do you think carried the entire audience with him? They started guessing, said maybe that Harvard's professor, this archbishop, this and so on. But this padri went on saying, no. Ultimately he said, do you know who carried the entire audience with him? It's a heathen, a Hindu, called Swami Vivekananda. And Devamata was so very surprised. This Lara Glenn was surprised to hear this because she has never heard such a thing. Now she had a secret intention that she should attend Swamiji's lecture. In 1896 she got the opportunity. When she came to New York, she saw that there were some announcements that Swamiji is giving lectures on Raj Yoga or four yogas in such and such a hall. She went to attend it well before But then she saw that the people were pouring in and in. So many people came. They filled in all the places, even the window sills they sat, even on the basins they sat, and even the staircase were filled, and they even stood on the roads just to hear a humming sound of his voice, because nothing could be heard from the street except that humming voice. Then the majestic presence, Swamiji came in. She says that so many praise and say how wonderful was Swamiji's personality. But within few seconds, his entire personality disappeared. There was a voice alone ringing in the void. We were lifted up to some unknown world. On his wings, the gates of heaven swung open and we walked in. So, you can understand the powerful words of Swamiji, which could lift thousands of audience at a time. When she came back, she says, there was pin drop silence. Audience have left already. So she must have experienced a taste of samadhi. Now, that was the power of Swamiji's words. Now, I want to finally give you a small picture from an adjective from another shloka. Karuna Kataksha Vinikshepa Daksha. That means the one whose glance is full of compassion, compassionate glance, who is an expert in putting this compassionate glance. How proficient he was in throwing the compassionate glance, and how wonderful was its changing capacity, this one, life-changing capacity. We can give many examples for this. One story I want to pick up is from Mrs. Edith Allen. In future she got the name Viraja Devi. She says, she was a young person at that time, about 20, 22 like that. But she dabbled with something like black magic or somebody like that. Got into that hypnotic world and had a nervous breakdown. And entered such a dark world, she says, not a single ray of hope was entering that. My world was completely dark. I could not experience love or compassion from my fellow beings or even from my loving husband and friends. I felt all alone, depressed, and I was leading a life, a hopeless life. No coherent thinking anymore, anywhere. I could not concentrate on any work. In this condition, Mr. Allen, her husband, came to know about Swamiji and started attending his lectures. He became an ardent devotee and admirer of Swamiji. He even started helping him to announcements and all these things. And he was 6 feet tall and a military person. Swamiji used to call, "See Allen, you are also military and I am also military." And then one day it so happened that when Allen started announcing from the stage, he suddenly felt he was a pygmy by the side of Swamiji, and so he got down from the stage, started announcing from the ground. So this Allen felt that Edith can be improved if she can be brought to Swamiji's lecture. So he coaxed and said, "No, you must at least attend Swamiji's lecture." She said, "What is the use? I cannot understand anything. I am a lost case. I am a hopeless case. Please leave me." But then Allen pursued it and she came to Swamiji's lecture. She was sitting dumb, and then at the end of the lecture, Swamiji noticed her and said, "Madam, if you want to meet me personally, you can come to such and such a address, such and such a time. So she became bold enough to go there. But then landlady said, no, no, Swamiji is now having some urgent meetings. He will go there. I don't think he will have time to meet you. But she says, no, I stood my in this thing. I didn't leave the place. Said, no, I must meet Swamiji. Swamiji told me that you can come, so I have come. Then she said, okay, then sit and wait. So Edith was sitting in a corner and waiting. Finally, Swamiji came out. He was having disheveled hair, and then he was chanting to himself Gita, some shlokas. She was sitting quietly. He came near and said, Madam, well, madam. Immediately she felt that as if the floodgates were open. The tears started coming like anything. She wept and wept. All her darkness, all her this thing were coming out. And Swamiji just left her as it is. Went on going to and fro, and chanting Gita in the same wonderful tone, and filling the whole place with his beautiful chanting. After some time, he came back and said, well, madam, you can come again. So she left the place. But this time, her life has changed. She felt that everything is radiant around. Everything has become cheerful. Even the stones look like opals, she says. And the world has transformed into a beautiful world. So that is the healing started. Then Swamiji said in the next one, yes, you can come. You can help me in small things. So she started coming to Swamiji. He will say small, small works he will make her do. Cut the vegetables, do this, do that. And even he taught, you call me Baba. Small children in India, they call their father as Baba. So you are my daughter, hereafter you will call me Baba. So she started calling like that. The atmosphere was so joyful, so uplifting. She said, no, Swamiji, can I call my friends? He said, no, this is only for you. They don't need it. So long afterwards she understood he was giving a sort of healing through this company. And he never used to say, you go and meditate. Instead, he will say, I will meditate for you. So even if he is going to class, he will not coax her. He will say, I will meditate for you, don't worry. But Edith was under the impression that Swamiji didn't know what happened to my life, what all blunders I have committed. But Swamiji did know. So when Swamiji finally returned to India, he called and said, Edith, my dear, if you ever fall into abyss once again, call on me. So that moment Edith understood, yes, Swamiji knew everything. And not only that, even in 1950s, she recalls and says, even today, maybe Swamiji is away in space and time, but I know that Swamiji will respond to my call if I call on him. So that was the wonderful touch of Swamiji. The Karuna Kataksha Vinikshepa Daksha. I can't go on continuing because the time is also limited. And I have given you a few pictures which are favorite for me, even for meditation. The wonderful things which take us very near to Thakur Maswamiji. We get a personal touch through them. This is what Mary Louise Burke says, that when Swamiji came to America, he touched the very heart of the mothers. He came to our doors like a dear son, a dear brother. He not only came to our homes, touched our heart and heart. We were waiting for him. Just like the thirsty people were waiting for water, pure water in the desert. So if the sudden spring of nectar comes in the desert, what happens? The people go mad. Like that, the people rushed for him. So when Swamiji started from India, mother never revealed him what is waiting for him. He thought that he is going for the uplifting of Indians. But when the new chapter opened, he saw how spiritually thirsty they were. And he came up like a nectar for which they were thirsting. So that is, with one drop of Krupa, the lives became blessed. With this, I come to end. I pray to Thakur Mahaswamiji to pour on all of you their loving blessings, and the is my heartiest prayer to them. Let them give us solace, let them give peace, and let them give peace to this turmoil world. This is my earnest prayer. With this, I come to the end. Namashri Yati Rajaya Vivekananda Suraye Satchit Sukha Swarupaya Swamine Tapaharine. Namaste to all of you.